From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his fifth message in a series dealing with the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. This chapter memorializes many Old Testament characters whose lives and actions epitomize the true nature of faith in God. The third of these individuals is Noah. The human race of Noah's day had corrupted itself so thoroughly that God decided to destroy all flesh. Yet the Bible testifies that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God commanded him to build an ark to save his family, and Noah obeyed, never having seen a drop of rain. We'll see that Noah's faith was characterized by belief in the gospel, by obedience to the gospel, and by allegiance to it. As Dr. Cairns will show, Noah's faith perceived the glory of God. He had an insight into the true nature of God. Then Noah's faith received the graces of God. He and his family were saved from the destruction that consumed all other living things. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant. There are many occasions in our experience when we may very rightly and with benefit renew our covenant with God. After recovery from sickness, when, like Hezekiah, we have had a new term of years added to our life, we may fitly do it. After any deliverance from trouble, when our joys bud forth anew, let us again visit the foot of the cross and renew our consecration. Especially let us do this after any sin which has grieved the Holy Spirit or brought dishonor upon the cause of God. Let us then look to that blood which can make us whiter than snow, and again offer ourselves unto the Lord. We should not only let our troubles confirm our dedication to God, but our prosperity should do the same. If we ever meet with occasions which deserve to be called crowning mercies, then surely, if He hath crowned us, we ought also to crown our God. Let us bring forth anew all the jewels of the divine regalia which have been stored in the jewel closet of our heart, and let our God sit upon the throne of our love, arrayed in royal apparel. If we would learn to profit by our prosperity, we should not need so much adversity. If we would gather from a kiss all the good it might confer upon us, we should not so often smart under the rod. Have we lately received some blessing which we little expected? Has the Lord put our feet in a large room? Can we sing of mercies multiplied? Then this is the day to put our hand upon the horns of the altar and say, Bind me here, my God, bind me here with cords, even forever. Inasmuch as we need the fulfillment of new promises from God, let us offer renewed prayers that our old vows may not be dishonored. Let us this morning make with Him a sure covenant. Because of the pains of Jesus, which for the last month we have been considering with gratitude.
Pardon all my sin, and thou hear.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
We can't say we believe the gospel unless we spread it abroad. Allegiance demands that we stand to get that gospel proclaimed. It doesn't matter if one person or 1 million persons come to Christ through our preaching. That's not our responsibility. That's up to God to save. I can't save anybody. I can't cause conviction in anybody. But I can seek to proclaim the gospel. I can stand in allegiance to the truth of the gospel. And whatever results the Lord gives, let Him give those results. But we are called to preach. We're called to get moving if we believe the gospel. So the first thing that this secure faith does is it believes the gospel of God. Second thing is that this faith perceives the glory of God. We have in Hebrews 11:7 the phrase, moved with fear. Moved with fear. What does that mean? You may conclude that that means that Noah, for all his faith, yet trembled that he might perish. You may conclude that Noah thought that perhaps the ark might fail him, might yet sink beneath the billows. Again, I don't know that Noah never had such a trembling thought. But that's not the meaning of the text here, moved with fear. Just think for a minute. Noah met with God, and God gave him such a display of His own righteous, holy character and of His hatred of sin and of coming judgment that Noah could see the whole world going down to hell. Noah, as no other man alive, Noah had that tremendous reality of the holiness, the judgment, the justice, the righteousness, the purity, the majesty of God revealed to him, and that overwhelmed him. When it says he was moved with fear, it is a godly fear. It is a reaction to the glory of God. I want to tell you that faith starts by believing the gospel. But a faith that believes the gospel always progresses to perceive the glory of God. It is a faith that begins, certainly not to understand, for no man can comprehend God. But it is a faith that begins to catch a sight of the very nature of God. Now this leads you to think of something that is beneficial to believers who struggle with these things. And it's also, I think, beneficial in that it shows you the nature of real faith. Real faith saves the soul in the sense that it lays hold of the Savior of the soul. But the strange thing is this. Real faith never ends up by making the salvation of the soul its greatest concern. That's its next concern. Real faith comes to make the glory of God its greatest concern. Real faith wants to say, I want to know Him. Yes, I want to know I'm saved. But that will be as the result. But first and foremost, I want to know Him. That's what Paul said. That I might know Him. True faith starts off as a simple belief of the gospel, but it progresses to a perceiving of the glory of God. Faith will come to the Scriptures. Faith will spend time alone in the secret place. Not just, though obviously this will come into our study and our praying, not just to appropriate the blessings of God to ourselves, but faith will seek out the person of the Lord. Faith will want a clearer discovery than ever of the nature of God. Faith will want to have unveiled the beauty of the Savior. Faith will cry with Moses, O Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Faith cannot simply say, well, I'm saved. That's it. No, no. Faith says, I'm saved, but I'm saved by God. Therefore, I must perceive the glory of the God who has saved me. Faith, therefore, in Scripture, will behold His holiness. I think that what's wrong with Christendom, and what's wrong with our own Bible-believing churches, what's wrong with ourselves, we don't need to go outside the walls, what's wrong with us can be traced back to an inadequate knowledge of God, an inadequate knowledge of the holiness of God. You can't tell me that people whose faith perceives the holiness of God and keeps it before them will live in sin. You can't tell me that those people would be twisted liars and thieves, masquerading under the cloak of righteousness and faith. You can't tell me that people who can perceive the holiness of God, His hatred of sin, His power, His wrath, His free love and His grace, His provision in Christ, you can't tell me those people will do anything else but seek to live in the beauty of holiness. Faith believes the gospel, but faith proceeds to perceive the glory of God. And then the final thing that it does, and very quickly, we get it at the end of our text, faith receives the grace of God. He built an ark to the saving of his house. That may mean that he did it with the purpose of saving his house. He has a very good sense, saving his family. It should be the purpose of every parent to see their family saved. It should be the purpose of every believer in his own adherence to Christ so to know the grace of God that he sees the family brought in and not one left behind. Noah was both at the same time the world's most unsuccessful preacher and the world's most successful preacher. According to the people who live and die today by big statistics, Noah was a failure. To preach 120 years for 8 souls out of over a billion, he was a failure. But was he? You think of the great preachers. For all their greatness, many of them lost their children. We think with joy of the million souls who are reputed to have hit the sawdust trail through the ministry of the great Billy Sunday. But we think with sadness of his own children living to repudiate the same gospel and deny the grace of God. We think of the great D.L. Moody, and yet we wonder over the awful aberrations of his son. Noah didn't see the millions, but as a father, he was perfectly successful, for every one of his children got into the ark. That was his purpose. But I think the words mean simply that he built an ark with the result that his house was saved and he became the heir of the righteousness of faith. Very simply, sum it up. Noah's faith was the means of his own justification. That's the meaning of the heir of the righteousness of faith. What it means is righteousness is by faith. Noah had faith and Noah was accounted righteous. Noah by faith entered into acceptance with God. Secondly, it's saying Noah's faith obtained a promise of great future benefits that would flow from his acceptance with God, because he became the heir of the righteousness. The idea of being an heir is not only of now that you enter into a certain relationship, but that there are future benefits that flow from that relationship. Noah, by faith, entered into all the future fullness of redemption. That's what faith does. When it receives the grace of God, it receives acceptance with God. You're not going to be accepted by God by what you do. You say, well, I know that. I'm not such a fool you need to tell me that. But do you know it? The devil comes along to you. Your own flesh comes along to you. Well, if I could only do better, God would love me more. God would accept me more. And the more you believe that sort of nonsense, the more you get into the awful rigmarole of working to make God accept you, instead of working because he has accepted you. It's a world of difference. It's the difference between light and darkness. There's the difference between liberty and slavery. So many Christians who ought to be living as God's free men have actually bound themselves about with such slavery that they've lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, faith in Jesus Christ receives acceptance with God and the merits of Christ, and you don't need anything else. Faith in Jesus Christ will give you God's assurance of every future benefit and blessing that Christ purchased at Calvary with the shedding of his blood. Acceptance with God means that you receive everything. Everything that Christ purchased. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If you've got Christ, you'll not lack anything else.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.